health recommendation, right, that we are trying to meet with this proposal. If there are recommendations for changes, I see that there are several sections in here that you're asking for help or suggested language, or obviously it would have to be cut down because it would be too long, although we're trying to keep within our agreed upon format and time and length. If there are actually recommendations that need to be changed in this report, I'd like to hear that at this point. Because this is a different report than what we initially sent forward?
Not really. But there's three recommendations.
I mean, there's three recommendations.
Four recommendations. One, two, three, four. They're not substantially different.
They're not substantially different, but there are some different things here, and I see people.
And you could look at cost. There's three things listed under cost. So one recommendation is that in-jail services of the sheriff should include two social workers with duties that were described above when I was describing them. They have to do with redirect some of their current spending on mental health money to increase workers who can coordinate with local services. And without somebody in the jail working, knowing who these clients are, also having connections in the community, when they get out, they're going to be lost. You can't just refer people. So I'm suggesting that the sheriff spend enough money to support two human beings to do that kind of work. The second one is that the county support two crisis intervention case managers and locate them at the Provena Center, so that when the police, one of the problems police have is that, you know, the center isn't going to be open often enough. There's not mental health workers out there in enough numbers, even though the mental health board is supporting some of them. I think the county needs to support the development of that center. One way to support it is to support two human beings.
So let me ask for it again, because if there's no comments on this piece, I think it's what you said, Julie. It is. You recommended this previously, and we actually went down this road.
It's not substantially different.
If there's nothing substantially different for this report that people need to comment on, I think it needs to be left for Darlene to continue to work on it. Mm-hmm. And I know there were some other recommendations that Liam was going to send to Darlene in particular for this mental health piece, and we can move on from this round. And if you have any other, as you continue to read these reports, you can send them to Darlene.
And for those of you that are doing cost estimates, this would be one of them. It is likely that if you were going to have the county employ someone, that the costs that are noted on the last page are fairly reasonable. So, for example, if you were going to hire two staff people and one supervisor, you can count on about a $200,000 a year budget. That would include the staff, the fringe, the office space. I mean, that's just what it costs. Mm-hmm. So how I do that when I do my budget, just for a rough estimate, is to take the salary of a person, which for a case manager, a little person with a bachelor's degree, is about $32,000 to $37,000 a year, and double it. And that way you get all the fringe, all the indirect costs that go with that. That's just a rough estimate.
So here's the problem. You can address it or not address it. That salary is so low that the quality of people and the turnover rate is so high that you get lousy services. Guaranteed.
Not true.
Well,
actually, we
pay. Ask Community Elements what their turnover rate's like.
Community Elements doesn't pay that. But I will say that if the county, that's why I say if the county is hiring the person,
there's a process.
The process the county goes through, we pay about 46% of a person's salary in benefits, which is huge, even though we don't cover entirely health care benefits. And we cover. We have a nice office. We have nice office spaces, computer access, all those kind of things. can be done for much less than that if Community Elements does it, or a small nonprofit does it, or a church does it, or because they don't have all of those costs built in.
Okay.
Well,
if we can move to the recommendations 1 through 11. I mean, this part of the discussion really needs to really get to the point. Are we keeping the recommendation? Are we not keeping the recommendation? Are we changing recommendations? Do we need to add recommendations? That we need to get to the point on the recommendation. So let's start with recommendation number 1.
Okay,
James. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what we have for.
Okay. Well, I have some kind of overarching comments on the coordinating council. So
yeah, that's what I was going to ask you to take them out of order and talk about the coordinating council.
Well, I had coordinating council first, but
okay.
That's number one. That's what I got.
Okay. Well, in our progress report, we had a different 1 and 2, and that's why in my email, now that I've started to see this, the council used to be up front. Well, let me just go ahead and step in and talk about the coordinating council. The coordinating council it goes by different names in many jurisdictions. It can be called a community corrections board, but this is becoming the norm, referring it to as coordinating council. We are behind in having a council. NACO supports a council. That's helpful to us. The value of the council, many, and they're set forth in, and by the way, there's the short overview, because I want to make sure you understand, this goes in the executive summary, and then there's the full report. So the full report spells out the advantages of a coordinator, or some of the advantages of a coordinating council, because this is getting at the table the different players, including certain experts on mental health and the like, getting them in one place to look at the criminal justice system systemically. Now, when I say the system, people start thinking about police practices and life. The initial focus tends to be on the things we're focusing on, alternatives to incarceration, systemic approach to certain issues, and the like. So for short form, I kept referring often to criminal justice system, but I don't want people to think that the council is looking at, well, you know, should we be having night patrols here or this or that? That's not what it's about. Now, I want to get to what I consider the most important issue for the task force to address. And it's particularly, it would be important, the most important one no matter what, but it's particularly important because at least as of now, there are very different views between ILPP and my preliminary views. We haven't talked about this as a task force, about what the appropriate composition of a coordinating council is. Research has shown that for these councils to be effective in the goal of instituting systemic planning, that they have to be broad-based. That broad-based means, first of all, you have to have representatives from key components of the criminal justice system. You have to have, it's best to have the heads. So you would have Julia Reed, for example. You would have the public defender. You have at least one law enforcement representative and the like. You have a judge, at least one. But you also have experts in areas such as substance abuse, mental health, typically several representatives of the public. And then after that, the jurisdictions do, some have a representative from the business community, for example. There's a lot of different options. So Champaign County can figure out what works best for us in terms of implementing the kind of systemic planning that will reduce recidivism, reduce incarceration, and facilitate reentry. My thoughts are set forth after looking at, I've got them in files at home, looking at a number of prototypes, looking at some recommendations, professional organizations. My recommendations as to who should be on the council are set forth on number 4, and I realize that we'll probably have different perspectives on this, but as of now, this, as drafted, would provide for the state's attorney, the public defender, a circuit judge who handles criminal cases, a judge who oversees a problem-solving court. Right now, I said such as a drug court. I realize the mental health court is gone. Right now, we have the same judge handle them. That could change in the future, so it's kind of in generic language. Head of court services, the sheriff, a police chief, the chairperson of the county board or the chair of the committee that oversees criminal justice related matters. We can put the exact committee if we want. A local mayor, a restorative justice provider, someone with expertise in that area, chair of the mental health board or other expert on mental illness, an expert on substance abuse, a provider of educational services to adults with learning disabilities and educational deficits, or some other expert on education for at-risk adult population. Employment specialist for at-risk adult population, at least two representatives of the public, one of whom is from a high-crime neighborhood, another of whom has a felony conviction. Again, I have reasons for the different individuals I selected. I think it's very important to understand, I realize rivalry between Champaign and Urbana, so there'll be initially everybody will say, well, we want our own mayor, and then everybody will want their own police chief, and then Rantoul will say, well, we want our police chief, Muhammad. That won't work if we do that. There's going to have to be whoever, for example, is the police chief, and it can be for a three-year term. Let's say it's, I'll just pick Urbana now. Then it can be in the intergovernmental agreement that, let's say they start with Urbana, 3 years later, it's Rantoul. But the Urbana police chief, it is his or could be her responsibility to network with the other police chiefs and make sure that ideas, law enforcement perspective of in general, not just the Urbana police chief, are brought to the coordinating council.
There's no one in there for juvenile justice, for juvenile.
This interest. Right now is adult. This
but the coordinating council is going to determine the county's justice system. I think you have to.
Well, here's one thing I should say. And there are some coordinating councils do both. Some start out adult, and then let's say there was a task force like ours that looks at juvenile justice, and they may decide that this coordinating council now also needs another judge who does juvenile. But see, we probably not doubled the size, but you need a judge who handles juvenile. You need a defense attorney who handles juvenile. So, but that's a possibility, because there are some coordinating councils. I'd say it's the minority right now, but that doesn't mean it's not the correct approach, that do adult and juvenile all at once.
I hate to see two committees vying for the money.
Right.
And I don't know if that would be a money-related issue, but James?
I've spent quite a bit of time thinking about this coordinating council. And I mean, I think it's a really good idea, but I'm really concerned about how, I think it's particularly a good idea in order to respond to the proposal that was put forward by Kelmanoff, which is a very closed kind of structure, which is incredibly problematic. So I think it's important that we put forward something that comes with a community participation and a broader participation in what he's put there, service providers and stuff. But at the same time, I'm concerned at the level of prescription in this and the level of detail that we're putting out here. We have this. We've really given a long, very specific list of who should be on the council. We have a list of subcommittees that we're suggesting, and so forth. And I think we're really not. I think it's a little bit almost confrontational by putting it out there with so much detail. And I think we would do. The other thing is that because the way this council is blended into a whole range of recommendations, it almost becomes like the entire centerpiece of what we're doing. And I have a concern that some of the projects and the other things that we're putting forward as alternatives, as ways of putting our principles into action, are going to get kind of lost in how much detail and is devoted to the coordinating council. So, in principle, I like the idea that we make a recommendation that says that identifies the problems that you've identified, which are the problems of the lack of systematic planning, the lack of connection and coordination in terms of of delivery and data collection and evaluation and so forth. I think all of those things need to be identified, but I think there also needs to be some space in here for a Champaign County Council, you know, to kind of emerge through a process of its own internal dynamics. But we need to give a shove, but I don't think we need to push people into the corner and say, this is exactly what this thing should look like. So for me, I mean, I would much rather have a broader recommendation that dealt with the principles and perhaps put this in an appendix as one possible example of the way in which this might look in Champaign County, but not necessarily putting this forward as the way we think this thing could happen, because I'm just not sure. I'm particularly concerned that the people that we have actually targeted to be on this thing are gonna resist it. I don't think they're going to like the idea that they're being told that you and these other 17 other people are now going to be part of this coordinating council because the task force has said so or the county board has said so. And that's, I don't think, is the dynamic that we want to create with this. I think what we want to create with this is a dynamic that brings these people increasingly together and gets them to work together, you know, to implement different kinds of programs. So I'm just concerned that at the level of detail that we have here and the amount of text that this is going to take up in our report, the way it's constructed now, that it's going to actually backfire on us rather than do what we really wanted to do, which is lead to the creation of some kind of overarching body that plays the roles that you've delineated, you know, in great detail here. So that's a concern that I have, and I mean, I've been looking at this quite a lot. I've gone on the NIC website. I've looked at some of these other coordinating councils in other counties. I've looked at the NIC guide for creating these coordinating councils and so forth. So it's not sort of a spontaneous reaction to doing this. I mean, I've tried to think through it carefully and think about how the board is going to respond and how the potential members of this are going to respond to us putting out this very detailed plan. So that's my concern.
I don't think this is a nice prescription. I don't think it means we have to take it. But I think having a shovel-ready recommendation there makes it a lot more likely that we will get a coordinating council, because it's a lot less work for the board to do. They will, somebody won't like parts of it, and they'll go out. Somebody will add parts. But having something to work with, I think, is very valuable.
Mr. Lane, I'm wondering if the concept is similar to what Julian is recommending for in his last paragraph or two. He was talking about maybe somebody at the county forming these two social workers, for, you know, trying to do coordination with the county to look for grants. It's kind of similar to what I'm picturing the coordinated council being responsible, kind of two ways of doing it, maybe, just whether it reports to the county board administrator or, you know, how, it's just different. I'm just saying, I think it's kind of a different model. But, you
know. Well, I guess that's my feeling about this. From developed a long time over the course of this task force, I've come to the conclusion, and you know, I was applying it most closely to the area that I've been working on most, with mental health. But I think we should not be so prescriptive. I think the level of detail is overwhelming. It's almost punitive, actually. And it implies a level of, I know this is not intended, but the way I would read this, it juvenilizes the key actors in this community. It makes them, it seems to accuse them of not knowing what's going on, of being uninformed, of needing, it is just because things have been done the way they've been done, doesn't mean that people in the system don't already understand or have a desire to change things. And this somehow doesn't give them the opportunity to engage it on their own terms, with their own language, in a participative fashion. So I think it's just too darn prescriptive. I would much rather have us see us take the idea, talk about, even include up places, refer to examples of it, so people can see that other places do it and how they do it, but give the people who we want to engage this some leeway to work it out for themselves. I don't think it's a good idea. I actually can't imagine the people that you're listing here, just because we said it, will now all get together and morally decide that they really want to work together. And that's a process that developed from a process of people intending to work together and figuring out how. I don't think it can come from a top-down kind of superimposed detail. So I'm inclined to agree with what James was saying. It's been bothering me throughout the course of the task force. What we have here are two different sort of styles of how we think things work.
What do Carol and Mike think? The board is going to have this.
What do Carol and Mike? Everybody thinks, actually, because we've never really discussed this as individually.
You want to ask response?
Well, the one thing, and this is where I'm torn, because I think, as it's written, it's great, and I think that as Bill Lynn has thought of possibly everything, the only one I would probably add, at least in Chamberlain County, is court administrator. Court administrator here has a lot more power than in most counties, for example. Judge DeVos has basically ceded control of probation from his own to the court administrator. So they're a lot more important here than just scheduling things like that. The problem I have is almost, and this is what I've just been thinking about, trying to figure out a way to do it, because I agree that you need all these people's perspective to get a well-balanced view. And a typical coordinating council in the counties that I've worked or worked with have been similar to what Dr. Kalmanoff said. It's the players. It's the ones at the table. It's the sheriff and the police chiefs and the state's attorney and maybe the public defender. And if there's a county board person, if you want to say, well, the public needs to be consulted, well, that's all these people are elected for the most part, and that's how you get the public representation. And if they are doing the things people want, the ideas that you voted out, that's where the public participation comes in. That would be the typical reason I like this is because you're weighing all these other people, everybody else that's seeing the table, particularly with substance abuse and things like that, which we all agree is more important. But I think you will not get, if you have this many people, if you have 14 or 15 people, as a practical matter, and I'm not just speaking about this county, but other counties that have worked as well, you will not have the main players that will fight you on this. So what I would suggest, if you're going to do it this way, is for example, I don't think Judge DeFonis or typically in the court council, you have the presiding judge will serve. I don't think Judge DeFonis will want to serve with 15 other people in a meeting. And I'm just using an example. Julie Reach, probably the same way, and many others, who say, well, I don't want to be in a meeting with 15 other people. Some of them have a very small role in this process. Maybe they're a specialist, substance abuse or whatever else. So if there's a way to do like a subcommittee where those people can, if there's really concerns, and that's why I was trying to, if your subcommittee goes to that, I almost feel like United Nations in some ways. You know, you get everyone to see the table, but you have the Security Council who are actually making decisions, who are accountable to the voters, and they're the ones that would be, you know, if they'd also be advised by that group. So you're giving these people a voice who don't always have a voice. But at the same time, you're encouraging the chiefs and the judges and others to want to come to those meetings. In the alternative, if you decide you want to do it this way, what I would suggest is this. Rather than, like, for example, the state's attorney or the public defender, I would say the state's attorney or its representative. Because I see a lot more likely that Randy Rosenbaum, for example, might say, I don't want to go to a meeting with 15 people there, but I might send my first assistant, or I might send. And so a lot of these type of meetings, and the same amount gets done, because you're still having, you know, that person will then take the account of things going on here and take that back to their boss, and they might, you know, they could bring the input. But particularly from the judges, I see you get a lot of fight from them on that, unless you could say, we might send one judge, in the case like in Champion County, the drug court judge might be very interested in coming to something like this. But they might say, or we would send our court administrator, who really acts as kind of an arm for the judiciary here. So I would say it like that. I would give them the flexibility to say, it may not be the principal that's coming to these public defender, state attorney, whoever, but they'll send somebody, they'll make sure there's somebody there that is listed in concerns, just bring the state attorney perspective, for example, things like that. But I think you'll get less less resistance if you give them the option.
Can I respond to some of these comments just to help move the...
And let me say this just for a second. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Of the ones I've got, this is the medias. I'd rather spend 30 seconds on the other ones. There's nothing more meaty than this.
Right.
And let me tell you why I believe a coordinating council, and not just I, NACO, and it's because otherwise all our other recommendations, and I'm putting behavioral health to a side right now because there may be a specialized group focusing on that. But otherwise, it can be, first of all, we'll have what we have now. Let's do a little bit of this. Let's do a little bit of drug court. We have this and that. Let's do pretrial side services. But it is not an integrated systemic system, which is what we're saying is the primary flaw. A coordinating council also helps to ensure the decisions are data-based and that there's evaluation mechanism in there. It will also make sure that different perspectives, I've seen this, it's an amazing process, because initially everybody's kind of, how's this going to work? But you start to see this dynamism. And typically there will be somebody in the council who's kind of I really don't want to move ahead because they're afraid, political reasons, and they have somebody else. And they do have the protection of the group. It's hard for one person, whether it's a public defender, the judge, or the state's attorney, to go out there. But when they have the council as a whole, that gives them protection and also the information that they need to go forward. Now, what you said about a smaller group, and we're, right now, we have to realize that we're talking about a coordinating council for now, so we have to be mindful of political realities, but also for the future. We're developing a structure that should endure. Now, what some coordinating councils do is, and this might make it less threatening, because again, this is changing. There's an executive committee, and it would be what we call the chief judge, and it could be Julie, et cetera, maybe five. What they typically do is set the agenda. But the other group is not an advisory group. They are, really looking at, because, again, all this, we could get pretrial services, but unless it's implemented correctly, it's not going to do what it needs to do. We can do all that. Day reporting center, unless we do it right, it's not going to. So it's a coordinating council that will give meaning to everything else that we're recommending. If we don't include this in our recommendations, if we say, well, that's just getting into details, let's leave that to other people. ILPP is right now saying those people are, and again, I just don't like that term, but it's the big three, the sheriff, Julia, the chief judge, and several police chiefs. So we either go on record of saying that, and this is based, jurisdictions are doing this, in a lot of different places. There's guidance about how to do this, how to do it right. We either go on record or we're going to have a system. It's more formal than it is now, but it's still basically the same people. And right now, my feeling is that the system needs tremendous and can be improved tremendously. The only way that's going to happen is if we get a structure in place.
So I just want to say that I agree that coordination needs to be done. I also agree, in theory, that coordination needs to be inclusive of all of these people. We've seen this happen through the jury service committee, and the chief judge did work on that committee. He chose to be on that committee himself, and the court administrator, which was unheard of in Champaign County. So this was a great model. So it happened. The question that I have is that although NACO supports it, and I understand that point, if the recommendation goes forward as this is an idea that we think really needs to be implemented to support the shift that you're trying to do in the county, it has to be organic, though. If those people in that county don't see that value themselves, if they don't see that in structure, it is not going anywhere. the county board is not going to do that, and they're not going to insist on doing that. And in some way, I believe it becomes a distraction to getting implementation on some of the other sides, maybe the detox and the mental health, things that the county board has not done in any real great form for the criminal justice system at all, as a whole. And so I have this double thing going on. It's definitely text heavy. They won't understand it. And most of the board members do not go to NAPO training. I think they should, because they would have came back with this already, but they don't. Because of that, it's going to be very difficult, in my opinion, to get the county board politically to say, hey, yeah, you should do that.
Can I tell you what's happened in the real world with this? Is normally you get an idea like this out there, but then you do get somebody who steps up. It's a different person. Like in Milwaukee, it was a prosecutor. He said, we need to do this. He was amazing. In another county, it was actually the sheriff. The prosecutor was actually the main opponent. The sheriff came in and said, I don't care what he says. We need help. That was the catalyst. And then the judge, the chief judge, defused the prosecutor. So I guess what I'm saying is we're a task force. I don't like to say, well, it's not going to work because people are going to be scared. I think behind the scenes, we can be reaching out to people right now. And I'm hoping, I'm not going to betray the confidence, because I told this person I would preserve that confidence. But there is a big player who talked to me and said, this is an idea we've talked about. Where we've been debating is who gets on it. This helps provide that answer. And that person was not opposed. So I'm suggesting, Let's go forward now, and I'm not saying the people I've identified. I could have changed that list. You know, again, you might say business community or something else, and then work behind the scenes to see if we can get some people when this report is issued who say this is something we need to do.
And I don't want us to get bogged down on who should be on the committee and all that stuff. I'm trying to get us in principle to say, is this issued in this report like this? Is it issued as a full recommendation, a summary recommendation, or an appendix? I mean, at some point we need to get there. Darlene and Ben.
I would suggest that we, in the process of going through our recommendations, there are going to be some that we address more than others, but we could make an underlying statement at either this recommendation or some other place that says, we believe there needs to be a process put in place to make sure these things get implemented. We're making these recommendations, and they could just sit on the table forever. They could be put on a shelf, like a lot of plans do. I think we could make the recommendation that some structure needs to be set up, and that structure could be, we could give a couple of examples. It could be a coordinating council. It could be a staff person hired and reporting to the county board administrator. It could, you know, whatever. But that to me would be, at least we'd give an example. And we've said that we believe that it should be there should be some implementation that goes along with this. But
now, I do want to say that I don't believe that the staff member's issue is going to do this, not even touch this.
No, the coordination, there's options. And I'll go back to, you know, we could say, which Commonwealth recommended, I guess, that it'd be the what you're calling the big three people get together in a room and decide. And I will tell you that just from my experience, I've been involved with the county juvenile process for 10 years, and we've been talking about doing similar kinds of things for 10 years. And various people have been in the room at various points. We've had long committees, we've had big groups, we've had community participation. And what happened was that there an opportunity presented itself, six people got in a room and made the decision, and it happened. And not because we didn't have the history, but because that's the people that needed to make the decision. So this could meet for 20 years and never do anything. Or it could be, this could meet, and by the virtue of getting all the input and people getting comfortable with each other, and eventually the three key people are going to get together and say, because they control the budgets of what's happening, or the people, the staff that can make it happen, and say, this is how we'll make it work.
But decisions by that narrow group is why our task force was formed. That the narrow body
stands
meeting towards... Let's just build. And this coordinating council, if we are going to reduce recidivism, reduce incarceration, and facilitate reentry, then the composition may be different, but it will only happen this way. It will not be a staff person, and it will not be that narrow group of people. And it's not. This is not Lynn Branham's views. I mean, I didn't bring the big
big old publications there and everything, and my campus statutes and the like, but that's why we're a task force.
Okay. We're going to take two more quick, and then I'm going to actually give a recommendation to do this.
I just want to support your the split that you felt when you talked about it as something you favor, and also concerned about it being organic. And, you know, organic is a odd word, but it really expresses a whole, the way, it is a real way that things actually can happen in an organization or in a community. So I think, I don't think you need to defend the idea of a coordinating the council to this task force, actually. I think the task force pretty much likes the idea of having some coordinating council, and one that's broader rather than narrower. The issue, what's an issue to me is how it's presented and how much detail there is about it. We can support the principles of it, and we can give people leeway for joining it and becoming a part of it and figuring out how to make it work. Those are not necessarily contradictory. So we don't have to tell, it's like child rearing, you can tell your kid, the goal is to accomplish this task. I think you're smart enough to figure out how to do it. And if you want to look for some, here's some information you can look at. Or I can tell my kid, this is how you'll do it. And if you do it this way, everything will work out right, trust me. Now, I know that it's only an analogy, but I think we ought to pay attention to that. I think that it's too detailed. Not that those details don't exist, but let's refer people to those details if they want to look at them.
I'm totally in favor of the idea. The question is, how do we get there? I take Astrid's suggestion that a shovel-ready project is better than a half-baked project. The question is a shovel-ready project going to get traction at the moment? And that's where I have my doubts. And particularly if it's structured and with the huge amount of text and the way in which it's interlaced in virtually all the recommendations of the task force and everything. Because I don't think the way things are going to work here ideally is that we're going to get this council in place and then we're going to have programs. This council is going to take quite some time, even in the best of circumstances, to get a first meeting of this council. I mean, we've got to be talking 18 months. We've got to be talking 18 months. We're talking about getting projects and programs going before that. And I think the projects and the programs getting going will be the proof that actually shows that this council is necessary, because we can do more of it better. I'm totally with it, and I'm with the principles and behind it. So I just think we need to tone it down and reduce it in the report, so it doesn't kind of take over everything.
Well, what will come out, I think, in reality, is that if you have top people or five top people, whatever, the integrated people that control the jail, the probation, the mental health services, those few people, is that when they decide, the county board sets a pop for a goal that says we want to have these five things happen, they will begin themselves to talk to each other and say, we don't know anything about this, we need a little advice here, and they'll call the substance abuse provider expert, and they'll call the diversion expert, and they'll say, tell me what you know about this. What makes this work? How does this work? So it becomes more of a consulting or a work group thing, I think, in reality. And they could form a formal committee. I just don't think the formal committees work very well, because people drop it and come and go out of the meetings. And it's
but
like
those
this
five
group.
People
we,
will
we,
be the
but
coordinating
those five people,
committee.
But those five people
if
will
you,
be
if you
will
give
be
them the principal option,
yeah.
Organic.
Yeah.
They'll be the five people. They don't
and
want anyone else
will have
on
a
the
bigger
committee.
Deal.
We must oppose that.
Let me just tell you one thing. I understand there's concerns about length, but the overview is the two-page. The only reason I put the subcommittees in was because of the concern that all these people are so busy, and they're so busy with important day-to-day work And that's why the system has such grave flaws. People need to stop, catch a breath, and ask themselves systemically, how can we do this better? And they do not have the expertise. And so today, but just to say, today, calling a mental health expert, that doesn't work. You need somebody continually doing this on an ongoing basis. Now, the subcommittees could all be taken out of there. It was to basically send an assurance that, because I could see Judge DeFana saying, I don't want to plan all the details of the pretrial services program. It's like, well, there'll be a subcommittee working with staff. But then when you sit at that big table, because you guys, we got somebody right there with expertise in mental health, and we've got somebody right there who, you know, fill in the blanks, and the judge and the public defender, then it's decided right then and there. So the subcommittees don't have to be mentioned. I was trying to make sure that these people aren't steered away from this, and that they all actually appreciate that in the long run, this will make their jobs easier and more, quite frankly, more meaningful.
So is it possible for us to, I mean, you have the text, you have the supplemental text, to cut it down so that the gist of that recommendation is there and the appendix can include some of the other recommendations at the end. I'm concerned about the wordiness of it, but I want the idea, but the idea needs to grow based on those players in those areas so that they can do, they have to do some work. I don't think we should do all the work for them. I think they should, if you look at NACOL's recommendations, it's pretty clear how it works, and they give you examples, and they give you cities and counties to look at. And I think at this point, route needs to.
Here's one way to do it. See if this would work. Again, this would not be my preference. I think right now when we talk about shovel-ready, there is going to be IPP. It's going to be shovel-ready. It's going to have the sheriff, the prosecutor, the judge, and the police chief.
But they already exist.
So I think we should have, and it should be in the text. But the other alternative is to take some of this, now put it in to key parts of the intergovernmental agreement, because this is contemplating that the council would be formed by an intergovernmental agreement. It doesn't have to be formed that way. It's formed a lot of different ways, but that the county board initiates an intergovernmental agreement. That agreement will include a lot of details, but we can say, and then that can be shoved off somewhere. I personally think the composition should be in the full report. We could say broad-based and include, you know, to include criminal justice officials and people with expertise, blah, blah, blah. We could just say
something like that
and then give the example in key points to go in an intergovernmental agreement. So that would be one model. Then the question I would raise, I want to know if that's what you prefer. Then there would be the question Scott's raised, a very important one, because some say so-and-so or his or her designee. And I've actually seen that work, again, where this one, in this case, again, one jurisdiction, the prosecutor was a champion, the other one, the prosecutor was a great impediment to this process. But what happened, once the judge put pressure on the prosecutor didn't come to meetings, but sent a designee, and we're getting the work done. So you could say designee, some say you've got to get the main people there. But if you get the main people who maybe are a little, scared, but they will give their designee the authority to make the big decisions, then it works. They can work. And I don't know the personalities of these players.
I would think in this case what that would do by giving them the option, if they see like, boy, I'm missing out on too much, I think they'll start to come. Okay. But I think it would give them the option to say, you know, if it turns into a gripe session with 20 people at the table, I don't want to be part of that. And I think they might fight it if it has to be them. Mm-hmm. But if they say, you know what, I can send somebody if need be, that's fine. The other thing, I think, when you're talking about several of these players are appointed by probation, public defender, these are all appointed positions. Right. And frankly, and this is true of all counties, I don't see them very often. If they're sitting next to the chief judge, they don't say too much that goes against that. But their first assistant or a felony public defender, they have no problem saying, this is what sucks about the current program. Because they don't have the political issues so much. And so I think you get, honestly, a more honest perspective sometimes from someone just underneath the political level than you might from the head person as well. So that's just a...
Okay, so would everybody agree that I can make that change? And I'll, if I have questions, I can ask you. Does anybody oppose that?
Well,
I think it needs to definitely make the changes for that, but also cutting out some of the other texts that the subcommittee is going to cut out.
What about the composition?
I think the composition is going to be addressed, as Scott just said, because
well, but can the state's attorney and his or her designee, or are you saying put all those details in some kind of...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just have one question about the composition, because in all the models of these that I've seen, usually the county's finance officer, county administrator, someone who has an overview of all the county's finances is included, and you don't have that position included.
And that's actually the county, I think I mentioned as an example,
two of them here,
that were doesn't include the budget officer.
Right.
Yeah, so sometimes you get... Like I said, that's what I just mentioned, is you have different models. They mentioned the court administrator. That's why I said that I could change the composition right now. That's where I thought
only thing is, if you were going to recommend a specific composition, I would ask you to consider including the county administrator, because that is the person who has
That's exactly. And does anybody disagree with that? Now, somebody may go away, go off, if you think it's
too... They need a bigger picture person.
No, but it's a good example of... These things vary by county. Mm-hmm. They vary by locale. And there has to be room. So don't be too prescriptive.
How about phrasing instead of saying should include that at a minimum, setting it forth as a recommendation for consideration for the intergovernmental agreement.
I think you should pay attention to what Carol was suggesting of paring down the words as much as possible. And I... In response to what Astrid's concerned about, which is a legitimate concern, well, we'll just go to the Big Five, I think we should address that directly, that it shouldn't be limited. You can say without specifying a lot of detail, it shouldn't be limited to those five people. We disagree with the Kalmanoff recommendation. And, in fact, we think there would be community people involved in it as well. We could say that in two sentences.
Specifying
what it lines.
Which lines, just so there should be also community representation.
I mean, it's a policy that we're offering here.
I do like all the examples that you, and I think it makes people think. So you could say that line and say, in other, all these, and then I think that's one of the, because I, just as we overlooked a very, very important, how many times have we turned to that, this meeting alone? It's one of those things, if it's all listed out there, I think they might remember that.
Don't say the president of the mental health
board,
by the way.
The following representative.
So,
don't say the president of the mental health board. Say a representative if you're going to say it at all.
I don't think we want to mention the Kalmanoff report in here, but I think we want to make it quite clear that that's what we're actually responding to. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sure you can find words for that.
So I have only scheduled till 8 o'clock, which is 30 minutes past my normal hour and a half. And because I have an 11-year-old son, I have a responsibility. I am going to ask you all to, A, read the other recommendations and send to me and Darlene and Astrid your thoughts on those specific recommendations, either i.e. including, excluding, or changing something in those recommendations. On the discussion of the core principles, I have looked at them over and over again, and I am recommending that we have a single core principle or goal for this committee, and that core principle encapsulates what our vision is of a criminal justice system in Champaign County, and not list 12 core principles. That is my thought, and I'd be willing to work with Darlene to attempt to come up with one drafted core principle that would address some aspect of all 12 that have been listed.
Question.
Yes.
Could we not use our vision statement?
We could redraft it and look at the core principles and see if it meets those, or make sure that it's inclusive. There has to be some statement that includes the general principles of the core principles, but I don't think we need to address all 11 or 12 of them. Again, because they were listed in the draft of the original document. James.
Yeah, I mean, my suggestion was that principle 4 on human dignity become the principle, if we're going to have one principle, because I think these are way too complicated, and I think if I was going to have core principles, there's a lot of things in there that are not in there that I think should be in there, but I don't really think we want to have that discussion. We have a lot of different views about a lot of different things here, and I don't think that's a productive discussion to have. So, I mean, I support your idea of trying to work that into one and combine them.
Just to let you know what we did, because we just didn't have time to consider these, in our preliminary report, a lot of times we refer to cost-effective and humane. So I assume that maybe it'll be appropriate, because a lot of times when I inserted it now for principles, but I can go back, and or should I just always refer to cost effective?
I think we need a more of a human rights view of criminal justice, not just cost. It's not just cost that you're trying to get at. Right.
Humane, that was kind of the point. I've been in debates about this with people before. We're just talking about money. They say, hey, there's more.
The humane society.
Humane society. Human dignity.
Well, I can talk that consonant with, you know, consistent with human dignity, something
right.
like that. But I need to, what I need to do in the redrafting is get rid of this, and I personally didn't want to just refer to cost effective. I think that cost effective will resonate with most county board members, but then there will be many who say no, and they're going to want to hear about kind of that broader
vision. I think it's like Harold did what you offered to do, because it's good to have another voice to say the same thing.
And I'm definitely willing to coordinate with you all individually and just kind of try to draft some. So, hey, this is what Carol is thinking. I'm going to work with Bradley. I have to work with Dan. But we need one statement, a principle. And so that's my recommendation on the core principles piece. Darlene is not.
Statement's
She's not ready at this point for us to review the structure report of the document or the sample. So we're gonna leave those off until our next meeting on the 5th. And then we will send by email what we come up with as far as the core principle.
So here's a couple of things that I would like to have so that I can bring to you something at the next time, sort of I'm not going to have it edited, but I can have kind of a structure and lay kind of the parts out in the format. What I do not have currently, and I don't know if you can help with this, Deb, Bruce Wardini gave us a section that had to do with the detox center proposal, and it was presented to us. It was sent to us in a PDF format as part of the minutes and everything, and I don't have a Word document that I can cut and paste in.
We might have that.
If you could send that to me, that would be great. And otherwise, whatever you have for your most recent versions, I've gotten a recent one from James, I've gotten recent ones, but you're going to make some edits before these, right?
Right.
And I've gotten your most recent one, but you're going to send me one more with that little correction. And then I get the cost, so I'll leave one of those in the cost. So as I get the most recent versions, I will incorporate those in the right places. So I will plan to work on that. I will plan to work on that in the next few days, and then I am going to be on vacation for 5 days, and I'll work on it. I mean, I'm committed time to work on it when I get back, but I also have a job, so. I will be on vacation for 5 days, which includes a weekend. So, I'm leaving on the 7th and coming back on the 12th.
Oh, okay, so we meet on the 5th.
And we, yeah.
So
by the 5th, I will have something for you to show you kind of a rough idea. But then, you know, we'll
be reviewing the kind of outline drafted of the structure report as it's listed here. The goal, the recommendations.
What happens at tomorrow's study session?
There's no study session.
It isn't.
There's no study session this month. The study session, the next study session is this report on June 25th.
So one question that I really want you all to please do, because Darlene needs to know your thoughts on the other recommendations as well as Lynn. Cut, add, exclude, whatever we're going to do with these other recommendations, we need them because we don't have the rest of the draft report. I think there's some that can be cut, and I'll talk to Lynn directly about them, and I'll talk to Darlene, and I'll send it out to the group and just give you my thoughts on it. But we can do that by email and by phone.
And we are going to have the executive summary, right, where each one is either two pages or less.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Some things I think need to be appendix, some things need to be shorter, and I think some things really need to just be cut. And but I'll spare you guys for the details for today. Okay.
The two we've never talked about, and I'm recommending, I sent an email recommending some reordering and combining recommendation one and two that were in our progress report. I don't know if we need to talk about that or if there can just be a go-ahead. And then there's still the Racial Justice Impact Task Force. And then the final question is, because Astrid pointed out that our charge was changed several months ago to include juvenile justice, and we don't even have people on our are we going to include, one option is just in the section on the council to say, you know, just someplace we got to at least say, you know, there can be planning regarding that, but we can't do the planning. So how are we going to deal with that? That's the question. Are we going to recommend that there be another task force, and we're just not going to address it? If we don't address it,
I think we can do a summary point on there because the summary could simply address. There are a couple areas that we are not addressing in this report, and I think it needs to be summarized. This task force, of course, was not composed to deal with juvenile justice in the very first point, and therefore, there are these resources that can be looked at, or this committee that could be established at some later date. But I don't think we have the time nor the information to actually do a real recommendation. So I don't think we should
spend a lot of that. It wouldn't be long, but I could do a one-page or two-page summary on that because that's what we do.
That.
So I know what those resources are.
And that would be simple for you to do that at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm not opposed to that summary being done, but we've not spent considerable time here, even with Darlene, dealing with the juvenile piece. And we could just
I don't know. What was the added...
Our charge was reduce incarceration, reduce recidivism, facilitate reentry. And then apparently when new members came on board, and the only reason I knew this is because the newspaper said juvenile justice too. And that's
What got added from the original input was for task force purpose when it was reconstituted. To identify existing and potential programs and strategies for reducing the risk of Champaign County youth becoming juvenile or adult offenders. And I can send that to Darlene. And quite frankly, that was done on the floor by a board member making a motion. And I think it's perfectly legitimate for this task force to say, you know, that is not what we were originally constituted to do. And it's a big thing to ask for.
I think it was Stan James.
I think it was.
I would like to, at this point, with the consent of the committee, do as we've stated here, is work with Darlene to deal with the core principles, work with Lynn around the recommendations. I'm going to send to the committee my thoughts of recommendations, combination or exclusion of those. I got a couple that I think really should not be in this report. And Mike is going to work on the funding additions, subtractions that we need to do here that was recommended from today. As soon as I get the minutes, I'll shoot and make sure everybody knows what part we really need for the 5th so that we can have things very orderly on the 5th, ready for Darlene to move forward on that. We only have one more meeting of this committee after the 5th before we release our report to the county board so they'll have time to review it before the 25th. So this is like really...
We have the 13th.
The 13th is what I'm... But I know we have the 5th, but we got to do this review and structure, right? How are we going to release the report? It has to be talked about. And then, of course, the 25th is the...
And my point is I'm not going to have a
and
lot
she's
of time
to make
to do
it, so we don't have time to...
I promise I would. This is my part. You guys have been working hard on these drafts over and over and over, which I've been sitting down. So
I'll
sit back and watch you.
And move to adjourn. Let's adjourn.
The magic fingers.
Yeah.
You got all right. Yeah.
Well, you know what?